Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, their little boat is tormented by the wind and the waves, and he comes to them, walking on the stormy sea, trampling over the chaotic waves. No wonder, the sea is his creation. He rules over the wind and the waves when they get out of control. He is the Lord whose Holy Spirit filled breath blew over the waters of the deep in the beginning, Genesis 1. Jesus is the eternal word the Father spoke in the beginning to separate the sea from the dry land. Jesus commanded the floodwaters to ravage and destroy the earth while at the same time saving Noah and his family, 8 in all, as the ark floated on the water. He is the Lord whose Holy Spirit-filled breath parted the water of the Red Sea so that Israel could walk through the dry land. And then Israel saw with her own eyes what the Lord did to Pharaoh and all his chariots with that very same water. Jesus is the Lord who opened the waters of the Jordan like a gate so that the Israelites could come into the promised land. You remember in his baptism in the Jordan water, Jesus begins to take the sin of the world in his body, carry it to his cross, and then atone for all sin and for every sinner through the shedding of his divine sacrificial blood. He is the one who changed water into wine at Cana. Blood and water flow from his dead body on the cross. He mandates that sinners be baptized with water in the triune name, by which dead, damned sinners are washed clean from the impurity of their sin and given the new birth of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in John 3, Acts 2, and Titus 3. So, Lord Jesus does what he wants with water, with wind and waves, with all of creation. It's all his, and they must obey his word. So, when he shows up, the wind is silenced, the wicked waves flatlined. The sea is now like glass. He tames the wild waves and it torments them no more. Nothing can separate Jesus from his Israel, his people. He is God for them and for you. The disciples in that little boat of a church on the water give Jesus the highest of worship. The highest of worship. When they say, "Really, truly, you are the Son of God." Not a ghost, not a phantasm, but the great I am, the one true God for them. Really, truly, you are the Son of God. Little faith is then turned to great faith because of a great Jesus, saving faith because of Savior Jesus. Yes, truly, you are the Son of God. And that was Michelle's confession today as well, when she recited her faith in the triune God. And so did you when you were baptized. There you, like Michelle, renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways. In order to do what? To follow Jesus. To be his disciple. Like Peter in the text. Yes, truly Jesus is the Son of God for you. With Jesus, Peter walks on the water. With Jesus, the dead are raised. Sinners are declared forgiven. Jesus' words are powerful words, spirit-filled words that heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the graveyard dead. His words have the power to make men do what he does. Jesus walks on the water, and he bids Peter to walk on the water. Now, brothers and sisters, if Jesus' word can do that, think of how much more a word from Jesus will hold you in the Father's love, forgive all of your sin, and then on the last day raise you from the dead. Michelle, and all of you who are gathered here today, learn that Jesus calls you to walk with him in this life through faith. Learn to look for no other certainty than our Lord's promise to forgive you in the power of his Good Friday death and his Easter Sunday resurrection. Learn to look for no other comfort other than the cross of Jesus Christ. Learn to look for no other strength other than his word and his sacraments through which he reaches out to grab you and save you, just like he did with Peter in the text. Brothers and sisters, Jesus calls you to reject all the idolatries of this age. He calls you to become nothing in yourselves and instead let him be everything by trusting in his words of promises that he died for you and that you are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, Jesus calls you to stand with him in the churning waters of your troubled life, where little boys get brain cancer, where people make horrible decisions that ruin their lives, where marriages get into trouble and where they crash and burn, where the ravages of old age wreck the body and take away the mind. Jesus says to you, in the midst of whatever storm you're in, courage! I am with you, and I am for you. I am God for you. Listen, where Jesus walks, you too can walk in the power of his word, not just in the storms of this life, but even through death and the grave to rise to eternal life. Jesus is with you every step of the way. I beg you, brothers and sisters, trust only in him. Trust his word of promise for you, like whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, Mark 16, or given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, did you notice in the text that everything was fine until Peter did what? When he looked around, when he was distracted by the high winds and the white caps, the winds and the waves appear to be too big for Jesus. Oh, Jesus at that time seems to be too weak, so pathetic, so little. Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus. And then he begins to doubt. He's afraid. And doubt and fear are the cement galoshes that take Peter under. Brothers and sisters, when you permit your eyes to govern your ears, when you believe only what you see instead of what Jesus says, you will doubt and you will fear. Do you too see Jesus as being too puny in your life? So irrelevant for your life? So beside the point? In the midst of all of your life's troubles, do you keep your eyes on Jesus or are your eyes off of him? Are your eyes on Jesus when your life is being torn apart at the seams? The very second that you take your eyes off of Jesus and your ears from his promises, the very moment that you believe that Jesus is just too small and the troubles of this life are too big, you become little faithers, just like Peter. It's true, I'll grant you, there are times in our lives when Jesus does appear to be too little, as if he is just too puny to handle or save us from all of our problems, our disappointments, our disasters, our diseases, and yes, even our death. Get over it. Get over it. He's not. He is the Lord. Or as Peter and Michelle said today, truly, you are the Son of God. Michelle and all of you here at Trinity, Son of God is the biggest thing that you can confess about Jesus. At his Jordan River baptism, remember the Father proclaimed that very truth. As the Son of God, Jesus, the sin bearer. Your sin belongs to Jesus, not to you. He is the Son of God walking on the water, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he hangs dead on the cross, wrapped with all of your sin. He is the Son of God for you as he puts you in the boat of his church to give you his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Yes, he's Son of God for you. When you give him the highest worship, that is to say faith, and confess him as he truly is, the Son of God, what do you mean by that? You mean that he is Savior for you. Son of God and Savior are the same thing. And so you pray, Lord, Son of God, Savior Jesus, save me in your times of being a little faither. And then he bids you to come and walk with him, not on the water, but in the water, in the water of your baptism into his death and resurrection, in that glassy sea of forgiveness and grace in which he daily promises to you, courage, I am. Do not be afraid. I'm God and Savior for you. Michelle, happy confirmation day to you. Happy living in your baptism until it is finally brought to completion on the resurrection of the body on the last day, and dittos to all the rest of you. In the name of Son of God, Jesus, amen.